You can talk about Pesach all you want, Lamaisa, it's not the same as just like eating a piece of matzah, you know? You eat a piece of matzah, all the Torahs are like, okay, you know, Lamaisa, we know what Pesach tastes like, you know? So it's just a matter of getting there, Bez Hashem. Okay, so Lamaisa, we have to make achanas the best we can in order to allow ourselves to appreciate what matzah tastes like when it comes. All right, so what I'm thinking is like this. What we're going to speak about this week, you know, as usual, whenever I give a shiur, I really very much try to keep every shiur self-contained, Shkaich. Every shiur self-contained. So although this is officially a two-part series this week and Bez Hashem next week, Lamaisa, this week I'm going to try to make it self-contained. Next week, self-contained, so it's not the pressure is off. With that being said, though, I'm gonna tell you something that is only gonna be explained next week. With that, okay. So you know, in the Haggadah it says I have no choice. In the Haggadah it says it's a famous line, and really it's not just the line in the Haggadah. It's really to a certain degree framing the entire mitzvah. All the mitzvahs of Pesach night is really framed by this sentence. B'kol davar dar chayav adam liras esatzmai kihilu yatzim mitzrayim. That every generation a person has to see himself or herself as if they're being taken out of Egypt, as if they experienced the Exodus. So that, on a simple level, that line is talking about what does it mean in every generation? It means every generation on Pesach. You know, the mitzvah of Pesach night is to see yourself as if you're experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's certainly the Pashup Shat. But there's a Chiddush from the Baal HaTanya. There's an entire Perek of Sefer HaTanya, I think it's Perek Lamed Tes, that's revolving around this following Chiddush. And really what we're going to speak about tonight and Bez Hashem next week is really just to give an explanation of that parak in Tanya. The Tanya said, and he's using that line of the Haggadah, but he changes it up. He says, B'chol davar dar u'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. Chayav adam liras esatzmai kihilu yatzim mitzrayim. That every generation and every single day, a person has to see himself as if they're going out of Mitzrayim. That's a huge chiddush. We usually think, again, like I said, that line is a framing and is the bedrock of the obligations of Pesach night. But says the Tanya, no, that's an obligation every single day. So the question then is, how do we fulfill that daily? You know, I understand how we fulfill that Pesach night is by acting and doing things to bring us to that headspace of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we eat, everything we eat Pesach night is to remind us of not just to remind us, but to sort of, you know, to sort of, it should be visceral, it should be an experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We lean, all the things that we do. But says the Tanya, first of all, how does the Tanya know such a thing, that there's a chiyuv every single day to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim? And if there is such an obligation, how do we fulfill it? What do we do every day to fulfill that obligation to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim? Okay, so in order to, like I said, we're really going to answer that more properly next week. But as a way of introduction and to give the background to appreciate what Yetzias Mitzrayim means daily, we have to really understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim meant then. And to really understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim means, we have to fully understand or a little better understand what the gullus of Mitzrayim was. Why were we in Mitzrayim b'chlal? Again, it kind of, you go through the story of Chumash, it's kind of out of nowhere. It just springs up that Paray has this inyan of enslaving the Jewish people. We know in Chazal, so Chazal attributed to certain Averis, selling of Yosef HaTzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the story of Dustin Aviram, says it has to do with saying Lashon Hara. So we have these points, but the truth is it goes back to Avram Avinu. Hashem told Avram Avinu by Bris Ben Absarim, Yaday Tehdek Iger Yezaracha Beretz Leilahem, that the Jewish people, descendants are going to be slave, are going to be, it doesn't say where exactly or in what context, but they're going to go through an exile of 400 years. So it's like it's predestined. So it has to be for a reason. So what's the reason for Galus Mitzrayim? If we understand better what the cause of Galus Mitzrayim was, we'll understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim meant. And if you understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim means, Bemis, we'll appreciate how it happens every single day and how we fulfill that obligation every single day. Okay, so it's like this. In order to appreciate what Galus Mitzrayim was, we have to dive all the way to the deep end. We're going to see together at least snippets, pieces of from the Ari HaKadosh. There's the whole sefer, one of the svarim from the Ari HaKadosh is called Shaar HaKavanos, a sefer that talks about the Kavanos and the Avoda, what's going on behind the scenes of davening and mitzvahs and Yom Tovim. And so there's a section over there that's the Inyan of Pesach. So we're going to see little pieces from that sefer, from other svarim from the Arizal, to give us a background of what the purpose of, what was going on behind the scenes of Galus Mitzrayim. Okay, so the Arizal, the way the Arizal frame, and again, what we're going to learn might open up other questions that we're not going to answer. So just, you know, just be aware of that. So the Arizal is like, according to the Arizal, the story and the cause, the underlying reason for Golas Mitzrayim goes way back before the selling of Yosef, before any Lashon Hara, before Avraham Avinu. It goes way back to Adam Rishon. Now, when we talk about Adam Rishon's sin, the sin of Adam Rishon, what went wrong with Adam and Chava, so we're all familiar with the most obvious part of that experience, which was eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hashem said, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, he eats from the Eitz HaDaas. But the truth is, according to Chazal, what happens after the Eitz HaDaas is eaten? So it just says in Chumash that he's kicked out of Gan Eden. And then what? So Chazal say the following idea. We're not going to go into this too much. But Chazal say the following thing, that for the next 130 years, for the next Kuf Lamed Shana, for the next 130 years, Adam and Chava were separated from each other. And what were they doing when they were separate from each other? It's not like they got remarried to other people. They separated, and they were Isaac and Tshuva. Adam was Isaac in his Avodah of Tshuva, Chava was Isaac in her Avodah of Tshuva for 130 years. After 130 years, they felt that they rectified themselves enough. They came back together, and they had a child, the third child, Chase, right? They had Cain and Hevel, you know, right away. It's a question whether they had them in Gan Eden, after Gan Eden, whatever it is. But Cain and Hevel were already born. The whole story of Cain and Hevel took place. 130 years of separation, and then finally they come back, and they have Chase, right? And all of humankind really come from Chase, right? Because Hevel was killed. Cain's descendants are wiped down in the Mabel. Noach was a descendant of Chase. So all of reality comes from that third son of Chase. So you read the story in Chazal, it sounds like pretty good. That's 130 years of tshuva. According to Ariya Kaddish, tshuva is gevaldik, tshuva is always amazing. But the fact that the tshuva came from Adam and Chava being separate from each other, there was something, it's hard to say the words like unhealthy, but there was something not 100% pure in that experience of the 130 years. I'm not going to go into the pratim right now, but the inyan of Adam and Chava being separate for 130 years, that Arizal sees as, despite the fact that fixing took place through their tshuva, but damage was caused by the very fact that they were separate from each other for 130 years. Says the Arizal, as we're going to see in a moment, the inyan of Golos Mitzrayim was a tikkun of these two components. There's an aspect of Golos Mitzrayim, the Jewish people as the heirs of the spiritual heirs of Adam and Chava, we had to go through the catharsis, the difficulty of Golos Mitzrayim to bring a tikkun to the initial chait of the Eitz HaDaas, but also to bring a tikkun for those 130 years of separation between Adam and Chava. Now, this is why, by the way, the Arizal points out, that's why the Golos, the actual slavery of Mitzrayim was 210 years, right? Now, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he took us out of Mitzrayim, which is at the end of 210 years, how old was Moshe Rabbeinu? So he was 80 years old, which means that he was born 130 years into the slavery. Says the Arizal, that's not a coincidence. The birth of Moshe Rabbeinu means the beginning of redemption. So to a certain degree, the Iker Zman, the Iker Tkufa of Golos Mitzrayim was 130 years, corresponding to 130 years that Adam and Chava separated. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Sheis. That's why the word Moshe is Rosh HaTevis, Moshe, Mem is Moshe, Shin is Sheis, and Hey is Hevel, because Sheis himself is a Gilgal of Hevel who was killed by Cain. So the reemergence of Sheis after 130 years, that's Moshe Rabbeinu resurfacing, Sheis resurfacing with Moshe Rabbeinu after 130 years of real slavery. Anyway, so that's so with that framework, let's see the Arizal inside, and we'll see where it takes us. Okay, so again, Maramaka number one is again from the Shaar Kavanis in the Inyan of Pesach, the Jush Aleph, right in the beginning of Shaar Kavanis. Now the first couple lines of the Arizal is interesting, and it doesn't seem to have much of a flow, but that's going to be something that we're going to try to figure out. Hinei noidem hash omer chazal. The Arizal begins his discussion of Golos Mitzrayim with the following chazal. Chazal say, ki oisem hadoros harishonim, that those earlier generations, that after Adam and Chava, the generations of Enosh, which is when Avodah Zarah started, right? And then the Mabul and Haflaga. Chazal count seven generations or seven groupings of people that committed sins. So Enosh, his generation sinned. The Mabul, obviously, Haflaga, Sodom, and so on. Chazal say, Silku es hashchin lomala berekiya zayin machmas avinusayim. Chazal say that after Adam Rishon sinned already, there were seven groupings of people that through their sins repelled the Shekhinah, repelled the divine presence from the world, all the way to the seventh Rekiah. That's what Chazal say. And this is that quotation from Chazal is how the Arizal begins his discussion. Now the Pell is that he doesn't seem to follow up with that. That's just like Hakdama. Okay? We'll have to try to piece that together. But now the Arizal continues. Vida, you should know. Ki Yisrael shahayu ba'isa hadar shel shibi Mitzrayim. The Jewish people that were in the generation of slavery, they were a reincarnation of the Jewish people were like I said before were the spiritual heirs to Adam and Chava, and they had to correct the damage that was done during those 130 years of separation of Adam and Chava, and that's what Jewish people had to do that. Now the Arizal explains that the generation of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were only the final, finally the ones to do this. But says the Arizal, there were earlier generations that were given the task of fixing the damage done during those 130 years, but they weren't able to do it. If anything, they caused more damage. Until finally the Jewish people come and began the tikkun with Golas Mitzrayim. He explains. V'achakach, right after the 130 years, bo begilgul b'dor hamabul, the first spiritual heirs of Adam responsible to fix the mistake of that 130 years was, in fact, the generation of the Mabul. The generation of the Mabul. And instead of correcting the mistake of the separation between husband and wife of Adam and Chava, instead of doing that, usually a person either corrects their mistakes or they double down on them. So the next generation of the Dor HaMabul doubled down on the mistake. And what was their sin? The generation of the Mabul, their Averis was a breakdown in that relationship between men and women. It was a complete kilkel of that inyan, Vamei V'nyavin. Where was that coming from? It was because they were given the task of correcting the problem, which was Adam and Chava separated. So instead of correcting the inyan of the relationship between husband and wife, they were makalkal even further by the sins of the generation of the Mabul, going crazy in that inyan. And because of, again, because they come from, their task was to fix that mistake of 130 years, so instead of fixing it, they doubled down on it. Until they were wiped out with the Mabul. So again, so what the Arizal is painting for us is again a picture that 130 years, whatever damage was done in the collective soul of humanity, through that damage that was done during those 130 years was some sort of inyan of a disalignment between husband and wife. There's an issue in that inyan. So, and this was a problem that was tasked by humanity to fix. The first generation to be tasked with that fixing was the Dor HaMabul. But instead of fixing it, Adraba, they're makalkal even more. So that was strike one, that went haywire. V'achakach, the next generation to be tasked with fixing the sin of Adam and Chava, Heim Atzvim Chazrav and Esgal Galu B'dor HaFloga. Then those neshamas came back, the second opportunity, second chance, with the generation of the dispersion. Va'aleim ksiv, and regarding the generation of the haflog, it says, Va'yered Hashem liras esheir v'esamigdol, that Hashem descended to see the city and the tower, asher bonu b'nei ha'adam, that the children of Adam were building. Frek Darizal, why would the pasuk describe them as the children of Adam? Who was it? Obviously, if they're people, they come from Adam. So it says the reason, no, it's hinting to you that these are not stam people. These are people, these are the spiritual heirs of Adam and Chav, and it was their task to fix Adam and Chav's problem. Benoid Adam Kadamah, the children, the spiritual heirs of Adam and Rishon. The Aveinzen understand this. V'lachin ikraim b'nei ha'adam, that's what they're called, the son, b'nei ha'adam, as if there were only men, but there was no women by the Dor HaMab, by the Dor HaFlaga. D'chur b'lei nukfa, because it's also indicating this breakup, this separation between like men and women, this unhealthy, disconnect. That's weiter, a description of this. The gam oz heisifu lachto oid. And again, just like the Dor HaMabul, instead of fixing the problem, they doubled down on the problem. Limroid be'elyon, to rebel against Hashem. Avaloi hoyu ba'ayse ha'oven harishin shel aschasas zera k'Dor HaMabul. But their way of enhancing the problem was not exactly the same way as the Mabul's generation was. The Mabul's generation of enhancing the problem was by by making things worse in terms of husband, you know, men and women relationships. The Dor HaFlaga doubled down on the problem in a different way. What was their way of doubling down on it? By rebelling against God, about you know, being Kaifer Vicar, by trying to fight and building a tower as if to say we're God. What does that mean? So between the lines, what Darizal is hinting to us, and this is what we're going to see soon, is that what Darizal is saying is as follows, is that the two sins or the two damages that were done by Adam, which were eating from the tree of knowledge and separating from Chava for 130 years, Darizal does not see those as two separate sins or two separate issues that both need to be fixed. Darizal sees this as one inyan. This is one inyan that Adam and Chava were struggling with. For whatever this, we have to explain what this inyan is. But whatever that inyan is, it expresses itself in two different ways. It expresses itself one way with eating from the Eitz HaDaas, and it expresses itself in a separate way by Adam and Chava being separate for 130 years. And when the spiritual heirs of Adam and Chava are tasked with fixing this mysterious, you know, invisible problem that we haven't yet identified, so each generation, instead of fixing it, makes the problem worse. The Dharma, but each generation that is making it worse expresses the problem in these different ways. The Dharmabal expresses the problem, doubles down on the specific damage of the 130 years of the separation, the breakdown of men and women, and the damage in that type of, in that inyan. The Dor HaFlaga is expressing their doubling down on the problem, but just like Adam and Chava did with eating from the Eitz HaDaas. Why did Adam eat from the Eitz HaDaas? So it's, the Nachash said, the snake said, eat from this and you'll be like God. And that's what the Dor HaFlaga were trying to do. God's not in control, we're in control. We're going to go fight him. So in other words, whatever this inyan was, again, in Adam's life, expressed itself in two different ways. One in that act of rebelliousness against Hashem, of trying to sort of be like God, and the other way in the breakdown in the relationship of male and female. And those two different expressions of this mysterious problem also express themselves in the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaMabul more similar to the problem of the 130 years, the Dor HaFlaga more similar to the problem of the Eitz HaDaas. You follow that? But that's what's going on. That's what the Arizal is painting for us. Now, this is all from the Arizal in Shaar HaKavanos. Okay? In Marmokah number 2, there's a piece from the Arizal in another sefer called Shaar HaPsukim. Shaar HaPsukim is a sefer from the Ari on Tanakh. Over here in Shaar HaPsukim, in Parsha Shemois, the Arizal sort of fills in some of the blanks or some other ideas that he hasn't said in Shaar HaKavanos. So far, so good. You guys, if you follow this to whatever degree is possible? Okay, fine. All right, Marmokah number 2. Says the Arizal in Shaar HaPsukim. V'achakach. So again, in Shaar HaKavanos, all we know is two generations that were tasked with fixing Adam and Chava's problem. Again, the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. Comes the Arizal in Shaar HaPsukim and says there was a third chance. There was a third chance. V'achakach nizgalgulu pam shlishis, says the Arizal. They came back a third time, the spiritual heirs of Adam, to fix the problem, whatever the problem was, Banshei Sadaim, in the generation of Sadaim. Banshei Sadaim. Vihine. Now the Arizal explains a little bit more of what we mentioned before. Metzinu gamkin shechata Adam Rishon, shechet Adam Rishon hu shekafer b'ikar. We know that, again, the first expression of Adam's sin was in heresy, in him trying to be like God, eating from the Eitz HaDaas. Okay? Kiniska b'gemar Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin describes Adam's sin in such a way. Ukenegdam ha'yidur ha'flaga. And as I mentioned before, that the expression of that side of the sin was sort of embraced by the generation of the ha'flaga, also to rebel against Hashem and to make themselves like God, and they're in control. Shabanu migdal. That's where they built a tower of a kafir b'ikar, denying Hashem's control. V'ratzu la'alos, and they tried to ascend to heaven, b'kardemois, with axes, l'rakia, l'hilachim, to go to heaven, to fight against Hashem, b'karish al'olam, Hashem is the pillar of the world. Instead of Hashem being the pillar, they're saying that they're the pillar. So that, okay, so again, like we said before, that angle of the sin of Adam, which is kfir, apikarsis, trying to say I'm God, and so on, pushing Hashem out of his space, right? So, which is why Hashem kicked Adam out of Hashem's space of Gan Eden. So that side of the sin, the Dor HaFlaga embraces. Gam Metzinu, and says the Arizal, and part of that is also what the generation of Sadoim also kind of also double down on as well. That side of rebelliousness, that side of kfira, that side of saying we're godlike. See, one of the things, the most godlike quality that I guess you can say that God has is that he's completely self-sufficient. He doesn't need any support from anyone on the outside, right? We're all dependent on him, not vice versa. Sadoim tried to also sort of embrace that, you know, divine quality of saying, like, we're self-sufficient. That's what they hated guests, right? Everyone else from the time they were kids, right? They hated Hachnos. Hachnos is Archim, they couldn't stand. What type of business is that? No Archim, no guests. What type of Mishagas? So Mishagas is that. The answer is it wasn't a Mishagas, it was a philosophy. The philosophy was we are self-contained. We don't need to trade with other communities. Everything is perfect within Sadaim, and it's all within Sadaim. That is trying to create a mini Gan Eden. It's, you know, even the Pasuk describes Sadaim as a Kigan Hashem. So they're trying to sort of, again, you know, God, you kicked us out of Gan Eden. You think that you're all perfect. We're perfect. So again, Vaitu, you see that again, this sin of Adam, which has these two sides to it, two faces to it, the idea of I am God and not him, right? And to rebel against the true God, or this division between husband and wife, this breakdown, this unhealthiness between male and female, again, one of those two things expresses itself every time the world is given the opportunity to fix the problem. So again, the Mabul expresses the problem in terms of male and female. The Dar HaFlaga and Sadoim express the problem in terms of, you know, replacing God with them, each one in their own way. So HaFlaga does it with building a tower. Sadoim does it by creating this self-sufficient, you know, society that doesn't believe in acknowledging any weakness or any flaws. It's weiter, you know, it's just repeating Adam and Chava's sin. It's just repeating that. So that's what he goes on. So now take a look a little bit further in Marmukah number 2. Let's go 3 lines before the end, okay? 3 lines before the end. Vihine, by the period. You follow? Yeah, we're good? Okay. Vihine. Acher shenizgal gulu gimel pa'amim. Begimel darasin iskar. Now, after the world has been given 3 tries in order to fix Adam and Chava, and the neshama, the collective souls of Adam and Chava, were reincarnated in all these 3 generations, uksiv, and the pasuk says, in Eiv, hein kol eila yifal kel, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam is constantly trying to work with us. Pamayim shalishim gever, 2 or 3 times. So the real rule is 3 strikes are out. That's the real rule. But the Rabbanu Shel Olam is an Avir Achman. Chazru lezgalgal pam revi. The neshamas of Adam and Chava, the collective souls of humanity in truth, had a 4th opportunity to come back and to begin to fix. And that took place b'mitzrayim b'bnei Yisrael. Shal yinoyladim oz, that the Jews that were born in that generation, Bedar HaGolus, in the generation of exile, the Oz Hischilasakin, and finally the 4th time is a charm, the 4th time they began to fix the problem of Adam and Chava. But the way that they began to experience the fixing of Adam and Chava was through their suffering, through the Golus itself. The Golus itself of Mitzrayim was custom made to allow the processing of that sin, to allow themselves that they should go through the catharsis of those inyanim. How so? So what the Rizal is now going to show us is how the Golus of Mitzrayim itself contains all these different components of Dar HaMabul, Dar HaFlaga, Sadoim. It all has that element to it, as because this is now the generation that's beginning to fix the problem. And whatever the problem is, again, it expressed itself with these 2 ways of sort of kfira and replacing God with them, which was the Dar HaFlaga and Anshei Sadoim, each one in their own unique way, and the breakdown in male-female inyanim. Okay, so let's see how the result explains. So Marmukah number 3, this is now going back to Shaar Kavanos. Says the Rizal, Ubezet tovin tam nochen. With this background, we can now appreciate, Lama nigzor aleim oisah shibra kosha. Why taka? What's the pshat that we were given such a terrible slavery? Shein kamoisai, a slavery that was never like such a thing. So he explains as follows. Again, based on what we just saw, which is that the Golus of Mitzrayim was custom made in order to allow the Jewish people to go through the tikkun of all the 3 tries, of all the first 3 strikes. How so? So he says, the sin that the generation of the Mabul went through, lahashchis hazaram, which is the breakdown of male-female, which brought the Mabul, right? And Chazal say that, that's The water always represents taiva, always there's lust and passion. And that inya of the mabul, which was unhealthy lust and passion, so it brought with them the drowning of the waters of the mabul. So nigzar aleim, as a tikkun for that, part of the gzeira of Golas Mitzrayim was kol ben hayiloid hayar tashlichu, that all boys should be drowned into the river. That inya of drowning in Mitzrayim is reflective of Golas Mitzrayim being a tikkun for what the Dor HaMabul couldn't fix. So that inya of the Dor HaMabul, which they doubled down on the problem, causing a drowning, so the Jewish people had to suffer the inya of kol ben hayiloid tashlichu to fix that inya. Dugmas oynesh HaMabul atzmai, similar to what the Mabul was. Ukenegin mashachad b'dar aflaga. And what was the sin of the Dor HaFlaga? How did they express their inyan of the Eitz HaDa'as, which was, we're going to build towers and build infrastructures and build all these things to rebel against Hashem. So therefore, what was the fixing of that? What would Golas Mitzrayim in that context? Hava nibbul levenim. So the slavery was they had to build structures. And we know that according to Chazal, the structures they had to build didn't last, right? They built something, it constantly collapsed, right? Because that same thing would happen with the Dor HaFlaga, right? They never really finished the tower. It didn't work out at the end, right? So the inyan of and that's why also it's not even, it wasn't even about like making things. It was about the avoid of making something. Like that was that itself was the suffering. That was a tikkun for the Dor HaFlaga. So Nemar, that's what it says. Vayimoris chayeyim b'avoyda kasha, that they had to go through the bitterness of chaymer l'veinim, building, being enslaved to power like that. And by the way, it doesn't say it over here, but the Svar Makdash point out as well that part of the tikkun of the city of Sodom that also they had to fix was the, you know, part of Sodom was like the corruption of Sodom, right? There was an inyan over there of having, you know, judges that everything was like backwards, everything was upside down. If you did chesed, you got punished. You were cruel, you got reward. It was all backwards. So that's why also you find in Mitzrayim that a pasuk says specifically, and it describes, the pasuk describes this as one of the pains of Mitzrayim. What is the same pasuk? Sari Misim, the Yisimu all of Sari Misim, Lamana Naisib Sivlaisim, that they place taskmasters, right, on the Jews to just make more stress and more lachas. That inyan of having unhelpful leadership, you know, like leadership that doesn't help the problem, just compounds the issue, that was Vaitra Tikkun of Sodom. So everything that isn't going on in Golas Mitzrayim is a reflection of what had to be fixed through all these things. Now the Arizal goes further, and he says in Apel de Gazach, all of this, all of the inyan of Golas Mitzrayim was, again, to fix the problems of Mabul, Haflaga, Sodom, v'chulu, which ultimately is fixing the problem of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava also, again, whatever this mysterious problem they had was, it manifested itself with the Eitz HaDa'as, which is, again, more kfira, replacing yourself with God, and 130 years of separation between Adam and Chava. But the Arizal now says a principle. He says, every tikkun, and this is, by the way, a very important inyan with their own personal lives, which is a good klal to know. Every tikkun has to be in two ways. There's always, I shouldn't say always, but very often a tikkun comes with some negative, but there always has to be doubling down on the positive too. There's the sur mirah, but there's also the asei tov. So the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were accomplished the tikkun, they fixed the inyan of Adam and Chava and all of its different manifestations in the negative by going through suffering. But that's not enough. To receive the Torah in Har Sinai, to really sort of bring the world, put the world back on track to return to Gan Eden, it's not enough to fix the problem of the sin in the negative. You have to fix it in the positive too. So the Rizal in Maramukah number 4 in Shar Psukim explains how after we left Mitzrayim, the Rabbanu Shalom then gave us opportunities until Har Sinai to correct the problems of Adam and Chava, but now in the positive. How so? So he says like this, V'zen Yonim, this is how it worked. We know that, I'll give you a little background, we know that before we got to Har Sinai, there were certain mitzvahs that were given to us, right? The in the place of Mara, it's interesting. We have, there's Kriyas Yamsev, right? The seventh day is Kriyas Yamsev. And then the pasuk says we went 3 days, we traveled 3 days without finding any water. And finally we get to a place that's called Mara. Okay? And Mara, as the word indicates, it had water, but the waters were bitter. They were acidic. You couldn't drink it. So the Rabbanu Shalom made a miracle. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, he took a piece of wood, which itself was acidic, was bitter, and he took that and he threw that into the bitter waters, and miraculously it turned sweet. And then Hashem says that Hashem now sends the message to the Jewish people that if you accept my laws and you accept my mitzvahs, all the sickness, all the suffering you suffer in Mitzrayim, you're not going to have. In other words, the pasuk itself indicates that that place of Mara and that experience of turning the bitter waters into sweet were sort of the final completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? That's why Hashem, all of a sudden, what are you talking about Mitzrayim for? Like, Mitzrayim is like a week, we left Mitzrayim a week before. Like, what are you talking about Mitzrayim? All of a sudden now, Hashem says, if you accept my mitzvahs, what mitzvahs? So Chazal said there were a few mitzvahs, handful of mitzvahs that were given to them at Mara. If you accept my mitzvahs now, then you can mamash put Mitzrayim in the rear view mirror. This is, by the way, why I spoke about this once before, why in the seventh day of Pesach, so what's the laning that we have in Shvi Shel Pesach? The laning on the seventh day of Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. But it's amazing. We don't stop the laning. The end of the Aliyah is not after Az Yashar. The end of the Aliyah is the end of this story of Mara. Why that like ended after Az Yashar? That's the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim. No. Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't finish now. Yetzias Mitzrayim finishes by Mara when we accepted these handful of mitzvahs. And that's what Hashem says. Accept these mitzvahs, now Mitzrayim can be in the rear view mirror. According to Arizal, the reason for this is as follows. Again, what was Yetzias Mitzrayim about? Fixing the sin of Adam and Chav and all of its different expressions. But to fix that properly, you have to go through a negative, which is what Golas Mitzrayim was, but you also have to fix it in the positive, which is what these mitzvahs that we were given at Mara was doing. So really, Mara and the mitzvahs given at Mara was a real completion of what Yetzias Mitzrayim was about. What were the mitzvahs given to us at Mara? So amongst other things, one of the mitzvahs given to us was Shabbos. So says the Rizal, Shabbos is a mitzvah that was given to us as part of the tikkun of Eitz Hadas. How so? So the reason says like this. Hine, and he breaks it down for us. Kenega Dar HaFlaga. So for example, corresponding to the issue of the Dar HaFlaga, which the Jewish people had to fix in Mitzrayim, but again, in Mitzrayim they fixed it through suffering of the slavery. Shekafru Be'ikr, what was the Dar, but now they have to fix it positively. How do you fix it positively? So again, what was the problem with the Dar HaFlaga? Shekafru Be'ikr, it was kfir, right? It was like getting rid of God, right? We're in control. Avdu Avodah Zarah, serving idolatry. Kamo Yadam Rishon Gam Kein, similar to Adam when he ate from the tree of knowledge, saying that I want to be like God. So Lochei Nasan Lam B'Mara, that's why they were given in Mara. Were they given Shabbos? They were given Shabbos V'dinim Shalah, and the halachas of Shabbos. They were given Shabbos. Why? U'bezeh Niskan Avodah Avodah Zarah, but that's positively fixing the sin of idolatry. How so? V'darshu Chazal, because Chazal say that if a person keeps Shabbos properly, afilu oivet avodah zarah ke'enosh, even if you have served avodah zarah like a generation of enosh, shaybedar mabel, which is again in that early generation, mekayim Shabbos, if you fulfill Shabbos, moichem like avonosh, if everything is forgiven. Why? Ki hamoyer amoydeh b'avodah zarah kilu koifer b'kol ha'torah kula. Avodah zarah basically undermines all of mitzvahs, right? If you don't believe in God, then that's it. V'amakayim Shabbos kilchasa, Chazal said, but if you keep Shabbos, what is Shabbos about? Believe in Hashem. What's Shabbos saying? Shabbos is saying that there's one God and He created heavens and earth and everything else, there's nothing but Him. That's what Shabbos is. So the exact opposite of avodah zarah, the exact opposite of saying, I'm like God, what's the polar opposite of that? What's the positive replacement of such a heresy? That's called Shabbos. So Shabbos is a tikkun in the positive for what the Dar HaFlaga was in the negative. And so again, the inyan of what was going on in Golas Mitzrayim, which is the slavery, to fix the Dar HaFlaga in the negative, Shabbos comes to fix that, to give them the opportunity to fix it in the positive. Kilu Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula, V'gam Niskan Avayin Kaifer Biker. And that's how you fix the sin of denying Hashem's existence or denying His power, His control. Kri Maida B'Shabbos. Shabbos is acknowledging Hashem's control. Maida Sheyesh Eker L'mala. What Shabbos means on a very simple level is that you're acknowledging that Hashem is the master. Shabara Oilam Sheyeshes Mei Bereishes. He created the world in 6 days. V'yishbais B'yom Eshvi. And rested on the seventh. So there you go. So that's Pashut. That's in terms of the Dar HaFlaga. What about the Dar HaMabel? So it's interesting. By the Dar HaMabel, what were the sins of the Dar HaMabel? Again, one was the breakdown of husband and wife and those in Yanim, which we saw that in Mitzrayim they suffered what? To fix that. But another sin, which the Arizal now references, that we know from the Pasuk, that Dar HaMabel, they were involved in, is what? Is Gzela. Is Gezeilah, is stealing. So the Rizal says like this. The inyan of the mabul itself, the breakdown of husband and wife, those in yonim of male and female, which again brought the flood, which then the Jewish people suffered, kol ben hayil eret hashichu, says the Rizal, that the Jewish people didn't have to do anything positive. You don't know why. Dying al kiddush Hashem, or being thrown into, the babies didn't die, Baruch Hashem, the Malach saved them, right? But Lamaik said, the Indian of being thrown into the river, that's not just a negative, that's a positive. That's a mitzvah, kiddush Hashem. Being Moisir Nefesh is an Indian positive. So says the Rizal, the Indian of being thrown into the river, which was a fixing, a suffering that was similar to the Mabul itself, that was both a negative and a positive. So that side of the Mabul, that was taken care of anyway. The only last little piece of the Mabul which still needs to be fixed in a positive way was the Gezeil and the Geneva, which is what the Dar HaMabul committed as well. So to fix that, says the Arizal, again four lines before the end of Marmak on the Refor, U'kineged avoyin Dar HaMabul ba'avoyin Gezeil, ka'adam Marishan, naslan parshas mishpatim. We were given parshas mishpatim, which according to Chazal happened, was given to us before Har Sinai. So Vayter, before Har Sinai, we were given the laws of Geneva and Avedens and so on. And that's Shekol Dini Gzela Geneva Nichtavimba. And by the way, more than that, what's the first mitzvah of Parshas Mishpatim? A Jewish person being sold into slavery. Why are you sold into slavery? Because he stole something he can't pay for. So Vayter, the whole Dini Parshas Mishpatim is about slavery that came because of Geneva. Right, that's Vayter. It's the acceptance of Parshas Mishpatim is a positive kiyum, is a positive inyan to fix the mistake of Geneva, which came from the Dar HaMabul, which was part of the ingredients that led to Golis Mitzrayim. So that's what Eved Ivri is about as well. Okay. And by the way, and he goes on further, the end of the line, U'kineged avoyin anshei Sedayim. And what about Sedayim, right? Can't forget about that. Shekafru bedinim, that they had a corrupt justice system. Adamarishan also. Lachinidlan Parshas, that's why also before our Sinai, right before Matan Torah, we have Parshas Yisrael, which opens up with what? With Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu setting up a correct legal system. All of that is a hachana for our Sinai. So this is the picture, again, that Rizal's painting for us. Is that again, the Iker, so let's go back. So after all is said and done, what we have is the following idea. That there's some... There's some issue with Adam and Chava. There's like this inyan. There's some problem with Adam and Chava. And whatever this problem is, it expressed itself in two different ways. It expressed itself in one way of a kfira de kinyan, of sort of trying to kick God out of the world, kivyachal, and replace Hashem. That's one side of the chet of Adam Rishon. And the other side of the chet of Adam Rishon is this breakdown of separation between husband and wife, is male-female issue, 130 years. And that somehow these two sides of the problem kept on resurfacing in these multiple generations, given the task to fix them. It resurfaced in the Mabul, more specifically in the breakdown between husband and wife, although we also found at the end that Geneva and Gezeila has to do with this. So that's another like interesting piece of the puzzle thrown in there, that Geneva and Gezeila is somehow related to this Eden as well, okay? The Dar HaMabul messed it up, the Dar HaFlaga, Anshei Sedayim, and comes Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, and this is the Eden of Golis Mitzrayim. The Eden of Golis Mitzrayim is to fix the original problem, and to fix all the different, and to sort of deal with the fallout of all the different failures of the previous generations. So they have to deal with the fallout of the Mabul, Kol Ben HaYir Ol Tashlichu. They have to deal with the fallout of the Mabul in a positive way by accepting Parshas Mishpatim, Geneva and Gezeila. They have to deal with the fallout of the Dar HaFlaga, which is the slavery of building structures for Parai. They have to deal with the fallout of HaFlaga in a positive way of accepting the Mitzvah of Shabbos, right, to make Hashem the Iker. They have to deal with the fallout of the Anshei Sedayim, which is dealing with difficult taskmasters. And they have to deal with it in the positive way of accepting the legal system that Moshe and Yisrael set up. And all of this is allowing Klal Yisrael to then stand by Har Sinai and what? And to get the world back on track to get back to Gan Eden. That's the picture. Okay. So what we still have to figure out, and this is going to be like the key to chop this whole inyan. Yeah. So that's the machlokes. The Arizal is going with the opinion that Yisrael comes before. In Chumash, it's recorded as before. So that's, you know. For sure. So what we have to now figure out is sort of this mysterious central piece that this is all revolving around, which is, so what exactly is the problem of Adam and Chava that expressed itself in all these different ways? It's like, what's the problem? Like it's like all we're seeing are the symptoms. So there's one symptom that's called I'm God, not Hashem. There's another symptom that's called husband and wife being broken up. There's another symptom that's called stealing. Like, but what's the nekuda? What's the nekuda? So amazingly enough, the Rizal doesn't say what the nekuda is. But Baruch Hashem, the Rabban Hashem gave us a tzaddikim. And Marmok number 5, so this is the Torah that Baruch Hashem, I was like to find, you know, relatively recently, just a few weeks ago, from the Kamarna. This is one of the Kamarna Svarim Eitzer HaChaim. It says Pirish on Tarag Mitzvahs. So in Eitzer HaChaim, it's in, I think it's in Parshas Kiseitze. It's on Mitzvah Tav Kuf Lamed Hei. Okay, that's, was it 535 of the 613? So this mitzvah on the surface has nothing to do with anything about Pesach, but it's like Kulei Pesach. Now, I'll tell you what the mitzvah, I'm not going to go into the details of how the Kamarna brings it into that mitzvah, but the mitzvah over here is talking about a not so, it's not a pleasant, there's some mitzvahs that you're excited, you know, some people, they make a pernas of like facilitating like Shluch HaKein, you know, like, you want to do Shluch HaKein, you know, there are people that will find a bird's nest for you in Williamsburg or something like that, you know, but then there's other mitzvahs that are not as enticing, I guess you can say. So there's a mitzvah in Torah, which is that if a person is killed in Beis Din through stoning, there's a mitzvah that he should be hanged after the stoning, and then buried. It's the mitzvah of hanging a person that was stoned to death. Okay, it's not so exciting, but it's one of the 613. So it's mamish. The Kamarna talks about that mitzvah, mamish sisri Torah. So in this Torah from the Kamarna, He tells us, he identifies to us, what was the nekuda? What's that mysterious nucleus that was the inyan of Adam and Chava that everything else falls into place? I'll tell you outside and then we'll see it together. The ikar nekuda is as follows. The nekuda pnimis was, how do we view everything we ever experience in life? That's basically what it boils down to. There are two different ways to view anything that we have. Everything we have and everything we experience, we believe, basic faith tells you that it comes from Hashem, right? So you don't have to be a big Baal Avaida and a big Baal Madrega to believe that Ani Mamin, that if I have a parnasa, it's because Hashem gave me a parnasa. If it's a blue sky outside, it's because Hashem made a blue sky. If it's rainy, it's Hashem. But even within that, there's two different ways to experience the blue sky. One way to think of the blue sky is that what am I seeing when I look up? I'm seeing a blue sky. Just who is the one that's in control of whether there's a blue sky or not? That's Hashem. There's another way. The other way is that when I look at the blue sky, what I'm experiencing and what I'm seeing is a point of contact between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is talking to me. Hashem is actually giving me a hug. He's saying something to me. He's interacting with me. He's embracing me. And the way he embraces me, the way he interacts with me, is through these garments that's called a blue sky, that's called parnasa, that's called the oxygen I breathe, that's called the interactions I have with other people, you name it. The classic mashal that I can't call anything I say classic, that's really not nice, but let me say the mashal that I've given many times, right, to describe these two differences is with cake, a piece of cake. So there's two people eating a piece of cake. One guy's eating a piece of cake, it's a piece of cake. So obviously when he's eating that piece of cake, he's not a tippish, he's not a fool. He knows that a piece of cake doesn't come from nothing. It comes, there's a baker, and there's the ingredients that come from farm. And so when he's thinking about the piece of cake, he's certainly appreciative, and he recognizes that there are people that he has to be thankful to get this piece of cake. But at the end of the day, what he's eating is a piece of cake. And it's just, there's people involved in the background. But then there's another situation. A guy's eating a piece of cake, but it's a birthday cake given to him by his family. Part of a celebration for him. That's a whole different thing. He's not eating a birthday cake. He's ingesting the love of his family, you understand? He's ingesting the hug that his family is giving him at that moment. He's ingesting the sense of togetherness and the sense of family, whatever it means to be part of a birthday party, that's what he's ingesting. That's a whole different onion. In that person's mind, in that person's way, there is no birthday cake separate from the rest of the people giving the birthday cake. It's one onion. This is the way that people are satiating me with their love. That's what they're doing. These are two different ways to view reality. The ikur nekuda of the chait of the Adam and Chava, the ikur chasarin, I should say, that allowed these multiple expressions, the ikur nekuda was seeing the world as if it's something that is just created and in control and controlled by a creator, as opposed to seeing everything as an interaction, as an experience of a point of contact between you and the creator. Or I'll give you other more. Now let's go instead of chocolate cake. Let's give more Tyredic words. A way to describe this would be: is everything in my life shefa from above, or is everything in my life a point of yichud between me and my creator? Is it yichud, or is it just shefa? That's the difference. I mentioned this once before, that before the Ariya Kaddish, most of the Mekubalim, when they talk about like what's the goal is to experience shefa. Shefa doesn't mean coins, only or it can mean ruchnias tikkunyanim. It's spiritual, but it's shefa. Comes the Arizal, by the Arizal, you're not going to see that as the goal. It's not the goal. By the Arizal, the tachlis of every moment is what? Is to experience yichud. What does yichud mean? Yichud means not shefa. It comes with the same flow of good things. But those good things that the early Mekubalim were just describing as good things coming to you from a creator, by the Arizal, that's not good things coming from a creator. That's yichud. That's the Rabbanu Shel Olam embracing you. That's his point of contact. Everything is a point of contact by the Ariya Kaddish. It's a point of yichud. The inyan of Adam Rishon saying, there's God, but there's also me. And the inyan of Adam Rishon separating between husband and wife is the same nekuda. The nekuda is that the world is a place where there's shefa coming from the creator and not a place of yichud. You understand? When it's shefa coming from the creator, then there's a creator and there's me. And I have to recognize that Adam Rishon, and no moment in time did Adam Rishon actually think there's no God. That's impossible. He didn't have parents. Obviously there's a God. But it just means there's also me. So v'yisim kilakim, you'll be like the Rabbanu Shalom, yadi taivara. That itself also means, on a spiritual level, a separation between male and female. What does male and female mean on a spiritual level? Spiritual level means that a point, a yichud, a point of contact, that everything that the receiver experiences is not just shefa coming from the giver, it's the bond between the giver and the receiver. That's the site of yichud. It means the same issue that the ikur nekuda was this breakdown. So listen to how the Kamarna puts it. So again, he's talking about the mitzvah that he's talking about over there. Which, by the way, that's how the Kamarna talks about, the inyan of being hanged between, being stuck between heaven and earth, sort of separating between heaven and earth. Earth always means the receiver. Heaven means the giver. It means male, female. Connecting heaven and earth means point of contact. It means that what we experience on earth is not coming from heaven. It is it's a point of contact between heaven and earth. The person who is killed with skila is specifically, the case over there is a person did avodah zarah or cursed Hashem. And all of a sudden, not only is he stoned, he's also hanged. He's like hanging from heaven, his feet are not touching the earth. Because that's the problem. The problem with avodah zarah, with Megadif, is that there's such a thing as heaven, and there's such a thing as earth, and there's shefa that flows from heaven to earth. But there's no real yichud between heaven and earth. There's no real point of contact. It's just constantly Hashem's just throwing chocolate cake at us. But it's not really a point of contact. So the problem of the Megadif, the one that curses Hashem, the one that serves avodah zarah, is he has to be stoned for his aveir, but he also has to be hanged. Says the reason, like says the commandment like this: the Said Megadif v'oivir avodah zarah. The secret of a person that curses God or the one that serves avodah zarah, mamshichim hashefa meis hashemayim. What they're trying to do is bring shefa from heaven. They're not stupid. They're not they understand that everything comes from the one God. That's not the. But they're trying to bring it from heaven, zachar, which is like trying to bring hashpa and shefa from the masculine quad, which means giving, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ena nichnas derech haaretz, but it doesn't come, it doesn't travel through the earth. You understand? It's just thrown at the earth. But it's not really, there's no real connection between heaven and earth. There's no real yichud. That's the problem. Kim kaifrim b'malcha shemayim, there's a kfir, there's a heresy. Why would a person not want this? You see, I'm paying attention, like, yichud is beautiful. Like, why would you never, if you have the opportunity to eat a piece of cake and it's Batar's birthday cake, why would you ever not want that? Well, the answer is because it comes with achrayas, right? It comes with achrayas. If it's just a matter of receiving things, then I can sort of take a day off once in a while, and I can sort of like put my feet up and say, okay, you know what? That was a hard day of work with the boss, and I come home. But if it's yichud, then it comes with a sense of responsibility. There's an alwaysness factor, which is like, I always have to be on. Everything I receive is like, you know, sometimes you have a conversation. Sometimes conversations are heavy, so you want to like take a break. But with Rabbanu Shlalom, if you believe in yichud, then every moment in life is like a real intense conversation. It's a little bit overwhelming. So it's not healthy. It's understandable maybe, but it's not a healthy thing to try to deny this, to try to run away from that level of oil. Because it does come with a certain avdus. It does come with that. But it's simply not true. And long term, it's not as delicious. It's not as delicious. Gehem kaifrim b'malchus shemayim. There's this person, let's say the example of that mitzvah, the person that was killed, that was stoned because he cursed Hashem where he served avodah zarah. This person was kaifrim b'malchus shemayim, who parked in ol malchus shemayim, and he threw off his shoulders this inyan of being part of Hashem's malchus, of being part of this inyan of yichud. And therefore, they're trying to bring shefa to their lives, but it's avodah zaradik. What does it mean avodah zaradik? It means that it's like the Zohar says that even the nations of the world that believe in idolatry, they also believe in Hashem. What do they call Hashem? The Zohar says they call Hashem Elikod Elahaya, the God of all gods. It means, of course, there's a God in charge of all things. The shefa has to trick. Someone has to turn the faucet on top. Like there's a beginning to all things. They're not fools. But it's just that once that beginning, once you move from that beginning, there's a lot of other stuff too. So, and we're just trying to, and therefore the real goal of Avodah Zarah really was to somehow figure out a way to get the shefa flowing without us having to actually like do mitzvahs to earn it. Because that's what mitzvahs are. What are mitzvahs? Really, the mitzvah, Yiddishkeit is yichud. It's like you just want shefa. So a person has a pet. So if you buy a pet, it means you're responsible to feed the pet. But that's shefa. That's not yichud. Yichud comes when the receiver asks and is not more than earns it, but just embraces the relationship. A pet, a hamster, like they could be cute or whatever. They're not embracing the mitzias of yichud. They're your responsibility because you had a mishagas, you know, you want a hamster. Okay, so now you took an hamster. The hamster's like, I didn't ask to be your pet. You made me your pet, so it's your responsibility. So if the hamster can't articulate any of this, but if the hamster could say, if the hamster could work out in such a way to get fed and to get all it needs without having to entertain you with its wheel, it would try to. Because this whole thing is like, what do I need this for? So what is the big? What's the effort of Avodah Zarah? They're trying in their different ways to try to bring the shefa without having to really earn it, without having to really embrace the relationship over here, because they're not interested in that. So this is what he's saying. So v'lochin mamshichim shefa. So they're trying to bring shefa down. Ideashchasa through an unhealthy male-female interaction. You understand? Without there being a yichud, it's just shu avodizar, which is avodizar. Shefa yoytz to the klipas. It's just go to the klipas without like a hamster. V'zo ashchasa gemur. That's a destruction. That's a destruction. Ki yisrael amakayish. But then comes klal yisrael. What is, and so what? So let's go back. So this is the nakuda that Adam and Chava were, the chesaron that they were grappling with. And because of that, that chesaron expresses itself in all these different ways. It expresses itself in saying, I want to be like God. Because again, the chesaron comes with an assumption, which is that there's God and there's me, and I'm just receiving from God. So fine, but at the moment of when I'm like, When I'm eating my chocolate cake, I'm makir toiv. When I'm finished my chocolate cake, look, okay, now move on. Like, why can't I just take a second to enjoy it? Because there's a me anyway. So that's the eating phase of das. And then there's also a different way of expressing the same problem, which is a lack of yichud. That's 130 years. And Viter, the Mabel, Haflaga, Sadoim, self-contained, self, like we're perfect, we don't need, it's all coming from the same minion. Even Geneva is coming from this. What's Geneva? Geneva is trying to steal something. If it's all Shefa, and you're trying to get the Shefa without really embracing the relationship, then that's called Geneva also. What's Geneva is, like if the hamster can steal your food without, like, of course it's going to try. That's what Geneva is. Geneva is Shefa that comes without Yichud. So it's all revolving on the same Nakuda. And the Jewish people in Mitzrayim are finally fixing this problem. So what's the Iker Nakuda of Yitzis Mitzrayim? So after all of this, the Iker Nakuda of Yitzis Mitzrayim is not just to be freed and to receive the Torah. That's it. The Iker Nakuda of Yitzis Mitzrayim is to realign ourselves with reality. That instead of seeing everything as just Shefa from the Rabbanu Shalom, but to see everything as the Rabbanu Shalom himself talking to us, communicating to us, embracing us, interacting with us through these levushim. This is why when we get to Har Sinai, what does it say? Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. I'm Hashem, you got to take you out of Mitzrayim. What do you mean out of Mitzrayim? If Hashem wants to introduce himself, there's more impressive things. The answer is, he's not trying to give his resume. The Rabbanu Shalom is telling you, how is it that you have the ears to hear me right now? Or in other words, what aspect of you, like where's the voice coming from? Like, but where was the voice coming from? Taka, where is it coming from? So it's funny, even the Pasuk says, Min Shemayim Yishmeches Koila Liyasracha, Umin Ha'aretz Yirachas Ishe HaGdoyla. From heaven you heard his voice, and from earth you saw his fire. So where was the... And the Pasuk says the voice came from the fire. So which one, where did it come from? The answer is, the Pasuk says, Kol Gadol Yosa, the voice of Har Sinai was a voice that didn't make any echoes. Why is that? Why didn't it make any echoes? What's an echo? An echo is a voice goes out, it hits a wall, which is not the voice, and it bounces back. You know why Hashem's voice didn't make any echoes? Because it was coming from everywhere. When any place that the voice of Hashem, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, hit, that thing became that voice. The soid of Har Sinai is that everything is Yichud. So Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and you're hearing this surround sound. Why? Because they took out of Mitzrayim. And through the inning of Golas and Gulas Mitzrayim, now you're able to finally purify yourself from that klipa that started with Adam and Chava of seeing things as just Shefa. Instead of Shefa, it's Yichud. This is why, by the way, think about it, even Pesach night. There's a lot we could explain with this. Pesach night, I'm going to give it away. What's the book called that we read? It's called the Haggadah, yeah? Why is it called Haggadah? What does the word Haggadah mean? To speak, to give over. Really? The mitzvah is called Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. Why isn't it called Sefer? That's probably a more appropriate term. Why is it called Haggadah? According to Chazal, the word Haggadah, the word Magid, is a word that you use when you give over something that's a secret. The most esoteric, deepest ideas is called a Haggadah. Really? The meaning of Haggadah is supposed to be tailor-made for children. What's the secret? What's so secretive? Adra is supposed to be Pashut. The answer is, whatever the Haggadah is saying, it's not being said. The Iker Soid of the Haggadah is that whatever it is that you're saying to the people around you, it's not about the words that you're saying. It's the Hiskashas that's being formed through the words. And that itself is a reflection of what Yitzhak Mitzrayim was. In other words, two Yidden are talking about what? They're talking about whatever they're talking about. But it's not about the words. The words are just the means to express, to bond with each other. So what really is being said, it could be the most positive things in the world, but what's really being communicated is a sight. Because what's happening is a Haggadah. What's being said is Dvarim Pshutim. But what is happening through those words, the tachas of those words, the real conversation is Haggadah, is a Magid, is a sight. And so this, and why would Chazal set it up like that? So Chazal would set up the mitzvah of Pesach night is to say things that are very, very simple, very straightforward, very obvious, things that everyone knows, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, they're chazering over the same things that they've said 50, you know, for many years, and they know it baimik more than anyone else, and they still have to say it again. Why? So we say in the Haggadah, right? They have to call marble sap, raise a meshubach, maiser, or lazer, or tarfon. Why? Well, maiser, why? What new information are they gaining? The answer is it was never about the information. It was always about the relationship. It was always about the relationship between the one that you're speaking to. And like the Chazal say, that if there's no one else by the Seder except for you, then you talk to yourself. Chazal don't say, just say it. Chazal say, talk to yourself. It's because Vayitin, it's also Hiskashas. Vinyin is not the words. Vinyin is the relationship, the Yichud, that you're trying to tap into. And all of this is a reflection of what was going on by Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the study of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He ends off like this, just three lines before the end. Ki Yisrael Am HaKadosh, the Jewish people, Mekab Malem Ol Malchus Shemayim. We do accept the yoke of heaven. U'mamshichin kol minei shefa l'shechina, and we bring the shefa through the Shechina HaKadosh. The Shechina means Hashem's presence on earth, bonding the giver and the receiver, Zachar Nekeva, that it's not just giving to a ham. It's a yichud moment. And the Shechina then divides up the experience to all the people above and below. But it's a yichud moment. Let's go back to the very beginning. When the Arizal first introduced the whole sugya of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what was the Chazal that he quoted? If you remember, Chazal said that the earlier generations, they caused, through their sins, they caused the Shechina to be banished from the world. And then he started talking about the, you know, the Dara Mabul, all these, and, you know, why did he start with that? The answer is because subtly, in his way, he's hinting to us the Ikar Nekuda. The Ikar Nekuda is experiencing things as Shefa and not experiencing things as Yichud. And the idea of the Shechina being in the world, the Shechina means our ability to see the cake as a birthday cake, not just as a chocolate cake. That's what the Shechina means. Because there's a world, the world is the world. But the Shechina in the world, Hashem's presence, Hashem's like counterpart, not the counterpart, the ability of the world to receive things from Hashem, not just take it, but to receive it, a yichud, that's called the Shechina. That's why Yetzias Mitzrayim leads into Har Sinai, which leads into building the Mishkan, which is a place for Hashem's Shechina. Well, the Shechina means this inyan of the Jewish people being able to experience a lekus in a way of yichud. V'shechanti b'soicham. B'soich kol echad v'echad. Not just I'm giving you things from on high. B'soich kol echad v'echad, that's the Shechina. That Hashem, when he's giving himself. That's what the Shechina means. To receive, not just from Hashem, but to receive Hashem himself, that's the Shechina. The Arizal introduces the Sugya Pesach by referencing this idea that the early generations kicked the Shechina out. And the Ikar side of Yetzias Mitzrayim is what? Is to bring the Shechina back. Which means to see everything b'taras yichud. Mezer Hashem, next week what we're going to see is how this expresses itself every single day. Like we start with Netanya, b'chol dar v'dar, u'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, chayav adam l'rishatz mekilu yatsim Mitzrayim. Where during the day can we tap into this inyan of yichud? But this is the side of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the side of Yisrael, to embrace the Shechina, to be a merkavah for the Shechina HaKadosh, which means to see all things in this way of not things that are given to you from Hashem, but Hashem is giving you Himself through these things. And that's what we're going to see, Bez Hashem, next week, more in detail and in more practical terms, Bez Hashem. Okay? We're zeicha to be able to see it and to feel it. B'gashris ma'amish. V'yizkol tzadik barach v'mir v'meinu amen.